returning home to the place I have been before. It's been a long and lovely time. Now I'm turning home to what my heart's been searching for. Never more to roam. I'm turning home.
Greetings and welcome to Turning Home. This is your pastor at Paradise, Rob Earnest from Paradise United Methodist Church in Smithville, Missouri.
I'm going to take you to John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. John 15, 9 through 17. Jesus is speaking with the disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was a boy growing up in the 60s in rural Arkansas, some of the places we lived, there were not a lot of organized sports available to us, not like there is today. Usually we'd gather in whoever had the biggest backyard and play whatever game happened to be in season. Two of the older kids, the bigger kids, would be captains, and we'd have a schoolyard pick to choose up sides. This was always pretty stressful for me because I was always the smallest. I was pretty scrawny, usually smaller than the rest of the kids. And since I was the child of the itinerant Methodist preacher who had usually just moved in, nobody knew my skills. Oh, I had skills. Nobody had seen them yet, though. So I'd stand on the edge of the gang and hoping to get picked. More than once, the captains would complete their choices, and then they'd look over at me, and then they'd look at each other, and they would say, "Okay, you can have the preacher's kid." And that didn't do a whole lot to build up my confidence, as you can imagine, but at least I did get picked. In our scripture today, Christ has done a schoolyard pick of his own. He's got all of his friends lined up, and he's picking his team. A lot of us think that we made the choice of having Jesus on our side or not, but we really didn't, according to this scripture. Jesus chose us a long time ago. In fact, even before he spoke the words we read this morning, we didn't pick him, he picked us. Recruited us, as it were, not by bribery or scare tactics or even a luscious NIL deal, but with loving care. Care out of belief in us, out of concern that we get to know God, enjoy fellowship together, and become all that we are capable of being. This is the key to not only understanding this scripture, but I think understanding the entire message of the Bible. All we are and do as people of faith, is in response, get that word, in response to our Creator's gracious invitations and actions on our behalf. We are called, we are chosen, we are cherished by the one who created us. And if that's not an honor and a privilege, I don't know what is. Can you imagine any greater fulfillment than that of being called, chosen, and cherished by God? As we mentioned, season 4 of the surprise hit TV show, The Chosen, has been completed. It'll be airing soon. Some episodes have already been in the theaters. And as we mentioned, through our live stream provider, we'll be providing episode 4, starting Tuesday morning. If you're not familiar, The Chosen is a groundbreaking historical drama based on the life of Jesus Christ, seen through the eyes of those who knew him the best, especially his disciples. But you don't have to be a disciple or a minister or a pastor to experience being chosen by God. God's gracious offer is to every single one of us. God has chosen us to be a part of God's church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the revered German martyr who was killed resisting Hitler's Third Reich in 1945, described the church as Christ taking form in a body of believers. Did you get that? Christ taking form in a body of believers. That's us gathered here today. The church, a body of believers, whether it's in person or online. The church is not so much an institution with rules and regulations and rituals, although sometimes there seems to be a lot of those. The church is an intricate body of relationships. Talked about this before, I think, but the preacher who baptized me at the Mount Pleasant Southern Baptist Church, yes, we can say Southern Baptist in the Methodist Church, not get struck by lightning, we're okay. Bruce Qualls kind of drilled that into me and many of us many years ago. Bruce is what, 6'4", 6'5", maybe, 250 pounds, big fella. And Bruce would jump up and down on stage and he would say, it's all about relationships, relationships, relationships. And the whole stage would shake. And he's right. The church is more than an organization. The church is a living, breathing organism held together by relationships. And we are called by God, chosen by God, to be people who love God. Seek to do God's will. Love and cherish each other. Treat others with dignity and honesty. Care deeply and gladly for each other's needs. And build bridges of understanding and peace. There is a word for that. Do you know what it is? Mark Twain said the difference between a word and the right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. You got to have the right word. And the word there is covenant. Covenant. And that concept goes back to the early days, way back to Noah, as a matter of fact. By the way, my six-year-old imaginary friend, Little Bobby, have I told you about Little Bobby before? I think I have. My imaginary friend, Little Bobby, was talking to his grandpa about Noah the other day. He asked him, he said, Papa, were you in Noah's Ark? His papa said, no, I certainly was not. And of course, Bobby naturally asked, then why didn't you drown? God's covenant with Noah was renewed over and over and over again with Abraham, then with Moses, then the prophets, and then finally with Jesus in the new covenant, which fulfilled the old covenant. We'll talk more about the new covenant in our service of Holy Communion, which we're going to have here in a few minutes. You see, a covenant is not the same as a contract. A contract is a binding legal agreement between two or more parties for the doing or not doing of something specified. And it's in my best lawyer voice. A covenant, on the other hand, is very personal. It's an act of faith and a trust between individuals. It's a spiritual bond. It is a moral commitment. It's a choosing of one another. A covenant is what you made when you got married. You and your spouse chose to be with each other. It's a covenant. A covenant is what you made when you joined this church or was made for you. A moral commitment, a spiritual bond. If you are a member of this church, you chose to do that, or your parents chose that for you. If you are here this morning, you are fulfilling at least one of the promises you made in that covenant. Do you know the other four? Those promises include participating in this endeavor with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Five covenants you promised. You promised. A covenant is a vow struck between individuals in a relationship, relationship, relationship. Covenant is a choice. Unfortunately, many who have made the covenant of church membership choose not to honor that covenant. I am grateful to you who have. The words of our text are a last will and testament between Jesus and his disciples, a covenant. The Lord bears his soul in these last hours of earth. These are famous last words, you see. He makes it clear to his followers that they are not servants, they are instead friends. That's a big distinction. A servant's not entitled to know what the master is doing, as Jesus pointed out. Friends, on the other hand, are absolutely open and honest with each other. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. We have shared fully and freely." He says right there in verse 16, "I chose you." And most important of all, friends value each other's lives as much as they value their own. They are willing to lay down their lives for each other. I had a root canal a few years ago. Have you ever had a root canal? Dentist evidently didn't use enough painkiller because he struck a nerve and went right down in my big toe. Have you ever had one of those? I would have yelled, but it was too much stuff in my mouth. He looked down at my teary eyes and he said, "That's getting right down to where you live, isn't it?" It really was. And so it is with this scripture today. Let's look now at a part of friendship we sometimes overlook, mutual friendship, the choosing of each other. Have you ever met up with a stranger and in a conversation discovered that you had a friend or a relative in common? It doesn't happen to me much, but it used to happen to Donna all the time. She could meet someone for the first time, and I swear, the more they talked, the more related to each other they became. When that happens, immediately your words become more animated, your interest is heightened, the vibes just get stronger. That's how it is in the community of faith. You see, when we become part of Christ's team, he insists that we let him bring all his other teammates with him. Jesus made it unmistakably clear that we cannot truly love him and not also love those he loves. Can't be done. We are to love even those we don't particularly like that much. An old Assembly of God pastor friend of mine, Dennis. Yeah, I know a lot of old pastors. Hey, Homer. Dennis would say, he'd say, "You better get to liking some of those people you don't like now, because you might be spending eternity with them at some point." He was right. That's called being one in Christ. Jesus talks about that in a passage known as the high priestly prayer, which is found up ahead in John chapter 17. That's where Jesus prays on our behalf. That's really the Lord's prayer up in chapter 17. What we prayed earlier is really the disciples' prayer. Check out the Lord's prayer in chapter 17 sometime. He prays on our behalf that his followers may be one, even as he and the Father are one. He prays that we will love each other as he and his Father have loved each other and love us. This love is so important today, maybe more than ever. Lord knows we got conflict across the earth, between nations, between religions, inside denominations, between political parties, between different philosophies of life. Times like these call for mature faith and reconciling love. Times like these call for us not to shun each other or push each other away, but choose each other. One more aspect of our text is necessary for this message to be complete, and that is Jesus' urgent appeal that our lives make a difference by being fruitful. We talked about this last week in first 8 verses of this chapter, where we are reminded that the branches of a vine are of no use if they produce no fruit. The late Dr. Paul Shearer had this insight into bearing fruit. He said, "The fundamental joy of being a Christian consists not in being good." I get tired of that, don't you? I get tired of that too. "The fundamental joy of being a Christian is in standing with God against some darkness and watching the light come." Watching light emerge from darkness. Seeing the light bulb go off above someone's head. Realizing joy has replaced sadness and love has dominated hate. It will every time. That's bearing fruit. This can happen when we get it right. That is, when we catch on to Jesus' analogy of himself as the vine, we are the branches, God is the vine dresser. That system works. The vine drawing its energy from the sun, the soil, and rain. You and I drawing energy from the vine, drawing strength from the vine. And God controlling and cultivating the whole shooting match. God, after all, has chosen us. God is with and in us. God is in charge, empowering us to bear fruit. Some of you are fruitier than others. The cool part of that relationship is that we don't have to do anything to bear fruit. Except what? Abide. Bearing fruit, as we mentioned, is a passive undertaking on the part of the branches, on our part. We can't help it if we're abiding in Jesus and he in us. We will bear fruit whether we're trying to or not. That's not our job. That's not our work. The thing is, as those who are chosen by Christ, we are not doing our work. We get this so wrong. We're not even doing God's work, although that's what we call it a lot. I'm out here doing God's work. I don't know where he's at, but I'll do it. God is doing God's work through us. All we have to do is bear the fruit. All we have to do is love. That's why Jesus makes the astounding statement that the Father will give us whatever we ask in his name. Have you ever used that? Some folks think that means that anything we ask for, using Jesus' name, we'll receive. Man, I need that new tractor. I'm going to pray for it in Jesus' name. I bet it'll be here tomorrow. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean anything we want, not anything that we might try to do in our own strength. And guess what? We can't do nothing in our own strength. It means we can do anything that God wants and wills to do through us. Because in God's schoolyard pick, God chose us. God chose you and you and you and you and you and you and me. To be on God's team. Why? Because God loves us. Because we all have skills. Even if no one has seen them yet. Even if you're just the preacher's kid. Thanks be to God.
I'm turning home to the place I have been before. It's been a long, lovely time. Now I'm turning home to what my heart's been searching for. Never more to roam. I'm turning home.
Are you looking for a church home? You are certainly welcome at Paradise United Methodist Church in Smithville, Missouri. Join us for in-person worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or online on Facebook Live, YouTube, or from the website at cometoparadise.org. This is Pastor Rob. Looking forward to seeing you. Blessings on your head.